They're not going to be there. And don't fall for that deception. Don't fall for that deception. We're people of the Word. We believe what the Bible says. Not what people write eloquently and beautifully in books, or proclaim very eloquently and boldly on the radio and TV and everywhere. There's only one truth. And that's the truth that we need to know. And that's the truth that we live by. And we cannot water down that truth. We cannot color it. It is what it is. And we need to know what it is. Okay, let's read Galatians chapter 1 from verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now this is what we've been hearing all week long, a different gospel. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel or distort the gospel of Christ. But if even we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Well, that's strong word. That is strong word. If you preach any gospel that's not in the Bible, it says there's curse on you. Be cursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Well, that's a strong message that the Apostle Paul is giving here. And putting a curse on people who preach a false gospel. Now, you know the word gospel means good news. And that's the problem sometimes, because there are lots of efforts nowadays to make the good news better news than it is by watering it down and giving it a kind of a color that will be more appealing to people. Now, you can that's not the gospel that you get saved by. That's not the gospel that will set you free. That's not the gospel that will sustain you in a difficult day. That's not the kind of gospel that is backed up by God. God only backs up what he said. And we have to be careful what we listen to and what we open our ears to and what we open our eyes to. Because there's a lot of this coming out these days from television and radio and books and everywhere. And as Christians, we need to be connoisseurs of the truth and just seek the truth and be careful. Now, you know, we need to discern, and we'll get into that in a minute, but we cannot discern if we don't know the truth, because that's the measuring stick that we measure everything by. And if you don't know the truth, everything else will sound like a truth and it'll be fine to you, because especially if it appeals to your senses. But our responsibility is to know the truth. My personal responsibility, first of all, above everything else, is to know the truth for me. And I want to be where the truth is proclaimed. I want to be where and what is done boldly, and where it's not done with extra color and little twist here, little distortion there, just to make it more appealing to people. No, we just want it the way it is. And that's my personal responsibility. I'm amazed to see people and hear people these days looking for reasons why they shouldn't believe the truth. And we found some of them. And they're looking for reasons to justify their belief of other things. And why in the world would you not believe the truth if that's the only thing that counts? What's the point of believing lies? What's the point of believing things that are not true? putting your faith into that, put your eternal life at stake for things that are not true. So as Christians, we have great responsibility to know the truth. And especially in these days, where so much is going out, we have a great responsibility to know the truth. And there's only one truth, and that's the truth that's in the Word of God. Because He never changes. And the Word that God spoke to us never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He will never change. And God meant what He said, and He said what He meant. And we don't have to twist it. We don't have to distort it. This is good news that we have right here. You don't need any more than this. This is more than we can handle sometimes. And so we don't have to change anything or twist anything or distort anything. All right, now let's read verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? And that's where the problem is. Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And see, we need to decide what we want to be. If we want to be man pleasers or bondservants of Christ. And you cannot be both. You can only be one. If you're not a bondservant of Christ, you'll probably be a man pleaser, looking to please people, looking to look good in the eyes of people, and looking to raise up a great following of people to follow you, to make you look successful. But in the end, that's failure. Because only the truth will bail us out. We cannot follow any other thing except the truth that's in the Word of God. And we need to be students of the truth. All Christians need to be students of the truth. Now, I know there's a lot of competition when it comes to studying the Word of God. Oh, when you pick up the Bible, there's a million things that will come to your mind that you can rather do. But in the end, the price for not knowing the truth can be heavy. Like some people are trying maybe to count the cost this morning of what it cost them to follow deceptions of the past weeks. Not even mentioning the shame today and facing the world for what they've done and the lies and what they've done to the Christian faith. Let me tell you something, in the climate of the world that we live in today, this thing will have a comeback. This thing will have a comeback. Christians will pay for this. Even ones that didn't follow that deception will pay for this. Because authorities look at this is mischief. And a lot of people were hurt by this thing. And the authorities will take action. Let me tell you today. And everybody will be painted by the same brush. It's going to cost us, people. It's going to cost us. We cannot allow lies to be spread around like this. And we need to speak up when things go wrong among us. We need to speak up and say what is truth and what is lie. And this was a lie. There was no scripture for what these people preached. They had no foundation to stand on. It was a pure deception. And let me tell you, the devil is behind this thing, and he's doing this. He's done this to hurt the church. But we will still hold on to the truth, and we will still be bondservants of Christ and not pleasers of men. Verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. It's not according to man. It's according to God. Now, when it's according to man, then that's when you begin to take out the parts that will help you to grow more into Christ, which is the purpose of the gospel. And we'll get to that in a minute. It will take out those parts and tell you, well, that's okay. You know, there's a whole big emphasis today on the grace of God, which is an overemphasis, a distortion once again, to tell you, well, you know, God is love, and He will not condemn you, and you're fine. Don't worry, but you're fine. You're fine. Well, let me tell you, the Bible says if without holiness, nobody will see the Lord. And the word holiness means to be set apart from the world. And if you're set apart from the world, you cannot participate in the stuff of the world and in the pleasures of the world. You're set apart unto God. Now, without that, the Bible says, no one will see the Lord. Now, that's gospel, because he's telling us how to live so that we can see the Lord. Now, religion will not bring you before him. Religion cannot save you. Only the truth can, of the word. Only the truth can set you free. Religion is not helping anybody. And so to be a religious person is just as good as being a sinner. Because religion cannot save you. Just following a set of rules and adopting a certain culture, like a Christian culture, oh, that's not helping anybody. We're just self-deceivers when we do that. And there's a lot of self-deceivers in Christianity today. People who just deceive themselves. Because they don't want to believe the truth. They'll just believe any other thing that will make them feel good. But let me tell you something. God's purpose for us, all of us, is this. That we will become like his son. If we flip over to chapter 4 of Galatians. And look there at verse 19. Paul is telling these Galatian Christians, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now, well, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. That's the goal, that's the purpose of the gospel. God wants Christ to be formed in us. That's the goal. If we look there at Ephesians chapter 4, and there's a very well-known scripture. They're talking about all the ministries that God has given to the church. And it says there, let's pick up verse 14, Ephesians 4. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. That's what we saw this week. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. How many people fell for that? Hundreds of thousands. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Well, that's the goal. Now, how are we doing with that goal? As the church. How are we doing with Christ being formed in us? Because that's the goal. You know, it's not about attending church. It's about becoming like him. Don't think you're getting marks with God just because you go to church. Well, of course, I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to those who listen to the CDs. But that's the question we need to ask ourselves. How have I done with becoming more like him? How have I done? Because that's the thing that will matter one day. You know, we cannot stand before the Lord one day and say, well, you know, I've been to church all these times. Well, we have to go to church to fellowship and to listen to the Word of God, because that helps us and shapes us and so on. And it feeds our spirit man and our faith. And but that's not what you get marks for. That's not, you know, this is not a scout program. This is becoming more like him. This is what this is all about. And that is the goal of the gospel. And that's good news. That we don't have to be like the one that twisted the truth and the one who deceived us. And we all came out of this deception and life of sin and darkness and bondage. Thank God that we're not part of that. We can be set free of all of that. And that's good news. That's good news. But only the truth will get you there. This is the goal, that we will grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And that's the goal. That's where we want to go. The Bible has stern warnings for us when we fall in love with the world and the stuff of the world. And when the blessing becomes more important than the blesser, then we're heading for troubled waters. We know that. that our goal is to stay as close to the one who blesses us and the one who saved us and the one who gave his life for us, and let everything else go, but let not him go. He's the source of life that we connected with and to. And so the Bible tells us that in the last days, we will see this kind of thing happen. Let's go to Timothy, 2 Timothy. And just catch up on that. Chapter 4. We're in all the chapter 4s today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Well, that's a good thing. Preach the word. That's why we encourage people to bring their Bibles to church, so you can see we're preaching from the word. We're not preaching from our own imaginations, or we're not preaching from books that go around to deceive people. We're preaching from what was written for us. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That means this is not only for a Sunday morning. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. That means there are some things they would love to hear. That's they have itching ears. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's what we're seeing now. This book that we talk about, Love Wins, that's it. That was written for itching ears. For itching ears. But you know what? That's not going to help you. To somebody scratch your itching ears for you and you know, to stroke you gently and make you feel good. The truth will set you free. That's the only thing that counts. It's the truth that sets us free. Verse 5, but you, and it's talking about every one of us here today, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Every one of us has ministry. And this speaks to every one of us, not just to Timothy. But every one of us must be watchful in all things. We must be watchful in all things so that we will not be caught by deception. We will not be fooled by what's going on. We know the truth. And we just stand by the truth. The Bible, the truth that's in the Word of God, is our measuring stick by which we measure all things that we hear. And when you hear things, immediately truth has to come up inside of you and say, well, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. That's not, the Bible didn't say earthquakes will begin in the east when the sun rises over New Zealand, and as it moves around the globe, earthquakes will hit it. Earthquakes will hit it. And the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. But people who don't know the Bible believe it. They believe it. They sold their homes. They quit their jobs. They emptied their savings accounts and stuff like that. And nothing happened. Now the next thing is they turn away from the truth and they want to have nothing to do with anything that has to do with God. They say, this is all nonsense. I put my faith into that. Now what now? Now they're turning against God. And that's the whole problem with deception. We have to be watchful. It's another scripture that says that we need to walk circumspectly. You have to have eyes around your head. In this world, we're walking through a minefield of deception and lies and distorted messages. And the only thing that we are guided by is the truth. That's in the Word of God. Jesus spoke in John, prayed in John 17, And he prayed like this. He said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. So the truth sanctifies you. And then he says, your word is the truth. So the truth sanctifies us, and it will guide us to stay away from things that will contaminate our walk with God. Hebrews chapter 4. We're into chapter 4 today. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is a discerner. We discern by the Word of God. The Word of God is a discerner. Now, there's a lot of things that sound okay because it's religious, but it's not necessarily the truth. That's why, as Christians, we need to know the truth. We need to know our discerner. We need to have a measuring stick on the inside so that we can measure things that come to us, so we will not be deceived. And the Amplified Bible uses a few interesting words there. It says, it exposes. The Word of God exposes. So when a lie comes to you, the Word of God will expose that as a lie. Because you're going to read, or you're going to listen to that through the lens of the Word of God. You're going to look at that through that lens, and then you'll know. So it exposes. It says it's sifting. It sifts. It sifts out the lies and the distortions so that we will not be caught by them. It analyzes. It analyzes. Take things apart so that we can see what is truth and what is not truth. And then it says it judges. Now, to judge is to make a distinction between two things. We judge what we hear. We judge what we see. By the Word of God. This is our guideline. So we hear one thing, and then we hear what the Bible says, and we judge between the two, and then we make our decision to follow the truth and not the lie, not the deception. And that is what the Word of God does for us. It is a discerner. Now, there's something about Christians that we really lament in the church, and that is the laziness to study the Word of God. The laziness to study the Word of God. And sometimes there's a feeling, well, that's not necessary. Well, God's a good God. He'll take care of me. I'm the child of God, and so on. But, you know, you can be caught. You can be deceived. You can be deceived. People come knock on your door on a Saturday morning or a Sunday, beautiful Sunday morning. They come out. And they come knock on your door, and they have stories to tell you. And if you don't know the truth, you'll fall for that. People fall for that. There's thousands of people that fall for those things. It's simply because they don't know the truth. Do you know that some religions, even like the Muslims and the Jews, that from a young age, they have to study the Word. They have to study their scriptures. And at a young age, they are able to quote the scriptures. At a young age, they're able to quote the scriptures. Now, I tell you what, Christians cannot do that. And that's a pity. And we're paying a price for that, people. We are paying a price for that. For our, let's call it laziness, to study the scriptures. We pay price for that. We pay price for that. You know, we need to feed on the Word of God. This is the bread from heaven that we feed on. You know, when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he couldn't tempt him because Jesus every time said, it's written. But it is written. I cannot do this because it's written. It's written. My brother in South Africa tendered for his building contractor. He tendered for a big contract, and then it was told to him. He was told that a certain gift would be part of the deal. He had to bribe them. He had to bribe them to get the deal. And so he went home and he said, I went to the concordance and I looked up every scripture that speaks of bribery. And I wrote them all out on a piece of paper. And so then I called them up. I said, I wanted to see you. They thought that he was bringing the money. He said, but I put that piece of paper in front of them and I said, my God does not allow me to bribe. You can give this business to somebody else. But he had to go to the scriptures. It discerned for him and helped him to make a good decision. See, that's how the scriptures help us and guide us into all the truth. Didn't Jesus say when the Holy Spirit comes that he will guide us into all truth? And he will never guide you into anything that is contrary to the Word of God. He's the author of the word. He cannot guide you into anything that is contrary to what is written. And so our personal responsibility is to study the scriptures and be knowledgeable in the scriptures. We need to know the word. You cannot take things just because somebody preached it. You need to go there and find out for yourself. You need to be a student. Do you know the word disciple means student? The word disciple, if you want to be a disciple, we'll get to that now, I guess, in a minute. But if you want to be a disciple, it means you have to be a student. You become a student. And if you're not a student, then you're not a disciple. The word disciple is just a modern word for student. It's to be a student of the truth. I think it's time for the church to rise up strong in the truth and to get over and done with distortions and deceptions and be knowledgeable and know the truth so that we'll know the truth and live by it. Let's go to John chapter 8. That's a very well-known passage that we often quote here. Gospel of John, chapter 8. And verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now we know the word abide means to dwell. If you dwell in my word, you are my students indeed. So we have to dwell in the word. And you shall know the truth. Well, how do you know the truth? You know it by dwelling in the word and by being a student. That's how you know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, settled in heaven. It's not going to change. It's not going to let you read one thing today and something else tomorrow. It's going to be the same as it always was. It is not changing. It's settled in heaven. And so when we study the word, we study something that's settled in heaven that cannot change. It's forever true. And it's forever able to save us. It's forever able to set us free. It's forever life. It's forever spirit. These are not just letters on a page. There's life in the word of God that brings life to us when we study it and when we live by it. And so as Christians, that is our bread that we live by. Feeding on the Word of God. Feeding on the Word of God. I believe if we could close our eyes to natural things, and we could see in the spiritual the condition of the church, then I want to tell you we will see an undernourished population. Underfed, undernourished, weak and sick, and unable to do what we're called to do. For this one reason, we don't feed enough on the truth. We don't feed enough on the truth. Now, don't look at me like that. I don't know how much you're reading. If you smile, I'll think you're doing well. Let's become disciples. You know, instead of just churchgoers, let's just be disciples. Jesus didn't come to make us churchgoers. He came to make us disciples. He came to give us life. And not to give us religion. And that's the goal. That's the goal. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as on these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. So if you want him to uphold you, you'll have to know the scriptures. He's going to uphold you by the truth. He's going to uphold you by the word that was spoken. He's going to uphold you by what is written. That's how we uphold you. Our faith can only be in what is written. You cannot put your faith into one when somebody on the radio says the world's coming to the end. You can't put your faith into that. You can only put your faith into what God said. But if you don't know the truth, you'll probably fall for that. And you say, you know what? Everybody's doing this. Everybody's doing this. I better do what everybody else does. No, we can only do what God says to do. Don't look to people. You look to God. We look to God for the truth, not for what people do. Do you know that the majority is not always right? Don't think because there's a majority here or there's a mass of people here that they must have the truth. Don't think that. The majority is often wrong. The majority was wrong when they went into Canaan to spy out the land, and the majority came back with a bad report. And they were wrong. And two of them said, we can do it, and 10 said, we cannot do it. We look like grasshoppers in the eyes of those people and in our own eyes. And the people followed the majority, and it cost them 40 years in the desert. See, ignorance will cost you. Deception will cost you. You'll pay a price for that. But the truth sets you free. Let's not look for justifications to believe all kinds of things that people say and people do. Let's just go by what the Word says. And you be people of the word and of the truth. He will uphold you with the power of his by the word of the power, by the word of his power, or by the power of his word. Do you know that Jesus is the Word made flesh? Now, how can you be a disciple of Jesus if you're not a student of the Word? You study the Word, you study him. He's the Word made flesh that came to us and brought us the good news of the gospel. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're ready to wrap up things here. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babe, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby the pure. I think the Amplified Bible says the unadulterated milk of the word. Unadulterated, pure. Milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Do you know why Christians don't grow? They don't drink the milk of the word. They don't grow. Many of them have been Christians for 20 years and 30 years and 40 years, and they have not grown past infancy, spiritual infancy. They've remained infants. They've remained spiritual infants because they've not fed on the truth of the word. But God wants us to grow into Christ. He calls us up to grow into the head, which is Christ. Paul says, I'm laboring again in birth, which means he's laboring hard. It's a painful work of intercession, praying for the church until Christ is formed in them. And that's the goal. That's where we're heading. Until Christ is formed in us. Do you know that the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. Do you know that that new creation being was made to look like him? That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of it. The new creation is made to look like Jesus. Just like him. Can I do one more scripture? Colossians chapter 3. And let's do verse 8. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. See, God's not going to put them off, right? It says you yourselves are to put off all these. So don't pray to God to take them away from you. You take them off. Why? Because you want to look like Christ. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. What about that one? Filthy language out of your mouth. Do you know God looks at that? He says you have to put that off. It's amazing how the world's vocabulary has become the vocabulary of Christians. That's not supposed to be so, people. It's not supposed to be so. The Bible says we need to put that off. Do not lie to one another. Don't say, Pastor, I'll see you tonight if you don't plan on coming. Okay. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Man, I tell you, God has high ideals for us. He made the new man according to the image of himself. Because in the beginning, when God made us, he made man in his image. And that was the dream from the beginning, and that has never changed. That has never changed. He made us to look like him. And so now he says there are some things that we need to put off. And there are some things that we need to put on. And one of those things is that new man was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. To look like him. And that's the goal. Do you know only the truth can get you there? Only the truth can get you there. We cannot water down the truth and think we'll reach the goal. We cannot take a shortcut and think, oh, we'll arrive at the destination. No. We need to take the full gospel. I like it where Paul says that we need to preach the full counsel of God. There are some things in the Bible that are difficult. There are some things in the Bible that we don't like. But it's the counsel of God. It's the counsel of God. It's His counsel to us. And if we follow His counsel, we'll do well. There are some things in the Bible that I don't like. There are some things that I would rather preach, which is a lot easier to preach. But you know what? Our goal is to stand before Him one day and be welcomed. That's the goal. That we want to hear Him welcome us in. It's going to be rough, people, if we stand there and we think we're going to hear the welcome and find out, I've been deceived all my life. I've been deceived. I believe the lies. I believe the lies because I did not invest in studying the truth. I got sidetracked, I got deceived, and I got defeated. And now it's too late forever. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Listen, we don't have a choice. There are some things that where we don't have choices. This is one of them. We don't have a choice but to believe the truth. We don't have a choice but to study the truth, because if you don't study it, you can't believe it. If you don't know it, you can't believe it. And so as the people of God in this day of confusion that we see in the world, and is there an area in the world that is not confused? I mean, the politicians are confused. The world economy is confused. Look at what's going on in the world. There's no peace anywhere. There's confusion. Confusion reigns. Now is the time for us to anchor ourselves to the truth and stand on that rock that cannot be shaken. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day to stand on that truth that cannot be shaken and win. And win. Let me tell you, the church has a great future. The world's future, we see where it's going. It doesn't look good. It's getting worse by the day. But our future is getting brighter. It's getting brighter. And we have a lot ahead of us. And we'll be happy that we were students of the truth. We follow just after Him. Just walk in His footsteps. And pay close attention. Be watchful. We'll be happy that we did that. Let's all say, I'm a student of the truth. Let's all stand. Do you know that everything is stewardship? I believe this word was entrusted to me as a steward this morning, and I delivered it. Now you've become stewards. Now you need to decide what to do with that. You have now become the steward of what's been delivered to you. And so it's all stewardship. It's all stewardship. We need to make a decision of what to do with this now. And stewards are held accountable. So there comes a day of accountability when we're stewards. And so let's make that a good day. Amen. Let's make that a day to look forward to. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us the truth. That Jesus came to set us free and to give us life more abundantly. To give us a life of peace and joy. And to open our eyes that we may see and know the truth. Thank You for the truth that's available to us today, that will carry us through till the last day. Open our eyes, we pray. Open our hearts, Lord. Father, I pray for a new love for the Word of God, that we will find it a joy and a pleasure to study the Word and to feed our spirit man and to renew our minds to the truth. And help us, Lord, to be to walk pleasing unto you. Not become people pleasers, but God pleasers. That you may look down on your children and enjoy what you see. That is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. At that place, we have to dip in the Jordan. Muddy old stream, doesn't matter. We're at that place where we need to take that step. And take that step of faith right now. Now this morning, I'm going to lay my hands on you, but you're not receiving from me. You're not receiving. Don't have your eyes on me. You'll be disappointed. Your eyes should be focused on God now. Just look deep inside of you. God speaking there. Inside of you, there's a stirring. Now, that's Him. There's a tug at your spirit. That's Him. That's Him. He's ready to do it for you. He's ready to do it for you. Thank you, Lord. You do it in Jesus' name.